you need the right strategy as far as marketing to attract the best possible buyers to the property to get the best result in the time frame. So you need to go out. It's very similar to, you know, when you look at general business marketing. You know, if you look at Coca-Cola won't have one strategy around marketing. They'll have multiple strategies happening at the same time to act like, I call it Chinese water torture.
Yeah.
So it's a hit, drop, but it's wherever you see it, it's happening, whether that's social, whether that's digital, whether that's analog, you're seeing the branding message out there.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the brightest minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Jason Rose is a name familiar to many in the real estate industry. He started his career as a country agent back in 1987. He was awarded Queensland Young Auctioneer of the Year and was twice runner-up in the Australasian titles. After 10 years in the bush, Jason decided to wash off the dust and the mud and moved to Brisbane, where he was instrumental in the rapid expansion of Rental Express, among other senior roles. Most recently, he has taken on the role of Queensland Sales Manager for Campaign Agent, where he is now helping agents streamline processes around vendor paid marketing. In this podcast, you're going to hear Jason talk about how Campaign Agent works, some great scripts that can be used in the living room, how Jason thinks the product will evolve over time, and what a great advertising campaign looks like when you alleviate the need to pay marketing up front. So I hope you enjoyed the episode, and if you do, please share it with your industry colleagues and, of course, hit that iTunes subscribe button. Now, there are quite a few scripts in this podcast, so if you happen to be out driving or letterbox dropping or something like that, we want you to keep focused on what you're doing. So we've done the work for you, and for about a week, you can download a free action guide for this podcast at eliteagentelevate.com. As many of you have already found out, these action guides are all the best value bombs from our guests in bullet point form. No fluff, no SEO fillers, no junk, just the very, very best stuff from each episode, fresh out of the ideas oven and ready to implement. So grab those notes quickly at eliteagentelevate.com. That's it from me for now. There's something for everyone in this episode. Enjoy. Welcome to the podcast, Jason Rose.
Thanks, Sam.
It's really great to have you here, and this must be only like the second or third time we've ever met in Australia.
Yeah, it's usually overseas at a real estate conference, at a bar.
somewhere around the world. But you've been in Australia a bit lately with a new project that you've been working on, a new role that you've taken on called Campaign Agent. But before we get to that, for people that don't know you, because you have been in the industry for a while, so
a couple of years.
Who is Jason Rose?
I know. For me, 32 years in the property industry. For my first 10 years in my career, I was in Armidale, Northern New South Wales. I was a cattle auctioneer, stock and station agent.
Yep.
So very much strong in the auction side of things. And then I suppose a number of years, 10 years in the bush, and then moved to the Big Smoke back now 22 years ago, moved to Brisbane as a senior auctioneer with LJ Hooker. And that got me more into the traditional residential space from there. So the roots are still very much tied to the bush.
I was going to say that you can't take the country out of the boy, can you?
I think you commented about my boots and my belt outside RM Williams.
Yeah, it's,
I don't own any town shoes as such.
I'm not dressed enough. I'm going to change my attire for next time you visit.
Hopefully it's not too far away.
No. So it's interesting. So you grew up as an auctioneer, but a lot of people know you from your time in property management. So give us a bit of a spin on what you've been doing for 32 years.
Right. Twenty-two years ago, when I moved to Brisbane and senior auctioneer with LJ Hooker, so that was virtually travelling, you know, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, Northern New South Wales, Central Queensland, just purely full-time auctioneering. And one of those things that, you know, you look at that role, it's very much like a technician. People are hiring you for your skill and your ability to be able to get the job done. So at that particular point in time, you know, 1999 to 2000, last financial year that I auctioneered full-time, I did 899 auctions for the year. and really got to capacity, I couldn't actually take that to another level because of time. And also saying that, it's not like I could leverage by bringing a junior underneath me because my clients were actually relying on me and our connection I had with the clients. So I stepped out of auctioneering the end of 2000 and went and managing agency, an LJ Hooker office, and then not too far down the track, opened up a second office in partnership with that business owner. And it's probably one of those things when you look at getting into business, and I look at it then, and I got into business for all the wrong reasons. And this is probably one of my big tips around, you know, the transitioning from salesperson to business owner today, is that I did it because I wanted a title on my business card that said principal. So I got into a business partnership. They either work really, really well or they don't. And unfortunately, after a couple of years, we unwound that partnership and went on our separate ways. And then a couple more years in LJ Hooker, then I had some challenges with a leader. I didn't believe in some of the values that a leader that I was working for in a business was, how he was approaching the business at that particular point in time. So I left and joined Harcourts with a gentleman called Chris Rolls. Side of things. That was in 2004. And Rolsey and I had been having some dialogue for a couple of years prior to that. And I'm the sort of person, you make a commitment, you stick to it until something changes those parameters that you're in, and which happened. And I, you know, went and joined Rolsey. And I suppose 12 and a half years I was with Chris in that business, and we transitioned from Harcourt's Property Centre, which was a traditional sales business with 350 managements when I joined in 2004. Until we obviously exited that at the end of 2015. So it was a massive journey and a massive learning through real estate and growth, business growth and property management growth over that period of time.
Yeah. I mean, look, Rental Express is one of the biggest, I think, scale stories that has been a successful scale story, certainly in the Australian market. What do you attribute to the success of Rental Express in scaling a business that large?
I think one of the things that we found is when we did sell the sales business and created Rental Express in October 2006, it was property management only. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you've got that singular focus, it allows you to concentrate just on the one thing. And we weren't distracted by, you know, some of the challenges we have in the sales businesses around people.
Yeah.
Property management is very much process driven. It's people run the processes that you put in place versus, I suppose, when traditionally we look at the real estate sales space, is we might have 10 salespeople in the business that all do things slightly different, working behind the brand. So it's probably more of a working group than a true team in that sense. So, you know, really about putting the right processes in place to create scale. And that's how it started off, and a vision to grow that into a big business, which we did. But it was very much a case of positioning ourselves in what we wanted to be in the marketplace, property management only, and putting all the things around process around, just not from an operational point of view with the property management, but putting sales process into business development to grow that on scale, to bring in hundreds of properties over a 12-month period versus, you know, 100 and things like that. So scalable processes.
Yeah, so that's an interesting point that you just made, because a lot of people associate just processes with the actual admin of property management. So you had very strong processes in business development, which was what allowed you to.
Yeah, correct. Yep.
Yeah, interesting. So at the moment, you've just taken on a new role, which is pretty interesting. So you're the sales manager in Queensland for a product called Campaign Agent.
Correct, yep.
Which we did a little story on a while ago, and it kind of went nuts. So again, explain Campaign Agent. Just for the uninitiated.
So we're a vendor paid advertising funding platform. Our product is all around giving the vendors choice in the lounge room of how they're paying their vendor contribution, giving the agents some flexibility. So most traditionally, I suppose, we looked at all of our advertising up front. And it's probably one of the things when I talk to a business owner, you know, with your advertising, you're getting up front or you're doing some on settlement. Oh, no, we do it all up front. And then you ask a couple more questions and they're actually not getting it all up front. They're actually allowing on settlement withdrawn and things like that. So I always look at it and say, from an agent's perspective, is that we love the engagement through a listing presentation, but one of the things most agents don't like is actually asking for the VPA up front. Mm. They love getting it, but actually the fear of losing the potential business because their business owner is making sure that they actually have to get it up front to get the commitment and then off the vendor. So it's giving the vendor some choice. It's giving the salesperson some ability to be able to actually potentially get bigger campaigns and also win more business because they're giving the choice to the vendors around how they actually pay their vendor paid advertising.
Yeah, so that must be fantastic in a bit of a slower market like we've got now, because obviously every extra buyer you can bring in counts. But let's just sort of backtrack a bit and go a bit over the environment in which vendor paid advertising sits in Australia.
Yep.
So traditionally in Australia, unlike other parts of the world, most vendors will pay for advertising.
Correct.
Is that still the case?
Very much so. I think we've seen a big, say, go back 10, 15 years ago, you know, a big transition. And this is probably from the portal, you know, going the digital space. You don't have to go back that far, and it didn't cost a great deal of money to promote a property.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I go back to 22 years ago when I came to Brisbane, you know, a lot of agencies were doing their local papers and paying that as part of their marketing expense to the business, not through VPA contribution. But you look at, you know, putting a property to market these days, and it's not a affordable exercise. You know, it's quite an expensive exercise when you look at bundling everything, you know, from a staging and styling to professional photography to our digital presence on the portals to our social media marketing and any other, you know, analog type marketing we might add on. It does become, you know, rather expensive.
Yeah. And the fact is, vendors almost have to do all of that because otherwise their property is not seen by people that are doing all of that. So yep. It's almost a...
And part of our job, and you know, is around maximising the sale price for our vendor. You know, that's some of the REIs and have got code of conduct around. That's our job. You know, it is our job to get the best possible price for the vendor in the time frame that fits with them. So part of that is you need the right strategy as far as marketing to attract the best possible buyers to the property to get the best result in the time frame. So you need to go out. It's very similar to, you know, when you look at general business marketing. You know, if you look at Coca-Cola won't have one strategy around marketing. They'll have multiple strategies happening at the same time to act like, I call it Chinese water torture.
Yep.
So it's a hit, drop, but it's wherever you see it, it's happening, whether that's social, whether that's digital, whether that's analog, you're seeing the branding message out there.
Yeah, and from what everyone is telling me at the moment, you sort of have to be everywhere.
Yeah, and that's just to find a buyer side of things at the end of the day.
So tell me a bit about how Campaign Agent works. So like I've heard the phrase VPA for Afterpay.
Yep.
Sorry. Afterpay for VPA.
Yep.
How did that little moniker come about?
There's a little bit of a backstory with that. Is Sean, one of the co-founders, our CEO, worked in the banking sector and worked for a couple of private families that invested in seed capital into startups. And actually, Afterpay was one of the companies that they actually invested in a number of years ago. So I kind of, yeah, there was an understanding of the Afterpay and it kind of morphed on from that. But it's also saying that when we look at whether it's the consumer or the agents, a lot of them know about these particular products out there, whether that's Afterpay. You know, I joke about it in training sessions. You know, a lot of the ladies know about that from their dress shopping and shoe shopping. The guys know about it from when they go to Bunnings and they buy their lawnmower at Bunnings. You know, there's ZipPay and OpenPay. So there's all these different flexibility options, I suppose, from a payment plan.
I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. No, yet.
Mark just went to check out your account just now to see what you're spending.
Yeah, very true. This is a game changer for me. So now you're sitting in the lounge room with me and I'm about to sell my property. And you're putting the advertising schedule in front of me and saying, look, I think you need to be on REA and Domain and on Facebook and print and all the rest of it. And this is what it's going to cost you.
Yep.
And I'm like,
yep.
What do you say?
Part of it is, as a good quality agent, you're going to present this marketing schedule and your dialogue's going to be something along the lines, this is the marketing schedule that I recommend to get the results in the time frame that you're looking at and hopefully get a premium price with it. So you're going to use a dialogue like that, but it's similar. You know, the first thing that the vendor's going to look at is actually the bottom line, similar to your response.
Yep, yep.
And they're not going to say this, but they're going to think about it, is that's a 15 grand campaign the agent's just put in front of me. I've got 5 grand available in my bank account or 5 grand available on my credit card. How do I take that from a 15 grand campaign to a 5 grand campaign? And there's not an agent in the country that wouldn't have had that happen in the living room. What can we cross out of this campaign? So when we look at how we integrate with an agent in that dialogue side of things, is we change a couple of things in that marketing schedule. One of those is around our line item, which is our fee. And we change a couple of things, which is our subtotals on the bottom. So, and while I look at it from any dialogue with an agent, we've got to keep it super, super simple for them, similar to paperwork. You do anything complicated in dialogue and the agents will stuff it up every single time. Similar with paperwork, the only paperwork that an agent loves filling out is a contract. Yeah. Everything else they usually shit at. So the dialogue's going to go very much similar like this. This is the marketing campaign, Ms. Vendor, that I'm recommending to you. Would you like to pay now and save, or would you like to pay later for flexibility and convenience? open. It's a, really, it's an open question, but it's really the vendor choosing versus traditionally, I think we'd find that the agent, before they've come to that presentation, they've got their favorite music pumped up in the car, listening to it, psyched up for the presentation. They're going over all the objections that are potentially going to be thrown at them. And they get to this and actually the vendors make decisions really, really quickly because they're actually familiar with these type of products, as I said, Afterpay and OpenPay and things like that.
So, Jason, I'd like to pay later. Define later.
We have what we call our pay later date. So it's always going to be on the 25th of the month, 3 months after our campaign start date. So if we're in the living room today, and we're going to sign our listing agreement.
I'm pouring the tea.
I'm pouring the beer. we're going to be signing the listing agreement, but also part of that dialogue is going to be, Sam, is when's the earliest that we can do staging, styling, or photography? And you'd be saying, oh, Friday is going to be fine for me. So that's what we call our campaign start date. So all dates are going to revolve around from that date there.
Interesting. So, look, I mean, you know, no wonder there's been some excitement about this product out there. Like, it seems like it sort of solves a few of the pain points, both for the vendor and also for the agent, really, not just around dialogue. But there are still agents out there who do fund vendor marketing.
Correct. So this is a great option for the vendor. It's giving them choice. It's great for the agent. So there's plenty of businesses out there that have looked at funding advertising. It could be on paid on settlement or paid on withdrawn and things like that. And usually you'll find is that if a business makes that decision to do that, agents will go down the path of least resistance. So if the upfront is one option or paid on settlement is the other option that the agents have, the agents will always go to the pay on settlement because it's an easy dialogue in the lounge room and the fear of not losing the listing because I've got this option. The problem with that is it's the business is actually going to be funding it, right? The business is going to be using their cash flow to fund that. So if you're a larger business or a smaller business, it doesn't matter for that stage, is if you're talking a $5,000 marketing campaign, you know, how many of those can you actually fund internally in the business before you run out of cash?
Yeah.
So this is a tool to assist, give the vendors choice. It's a tool for the agents to give them choice in the living room. And also the ones out there that the businesses have allowed it on settlement or withdrawn, you know, there's times where the property gets withdrawn off the market and there's still a debt. The advertising hasn't been paid. So, you know, usually the person has to be the debt collector is the agent.
Yeah.
Right. If it's not the agent, it'll be the support team. And if it's not the support team, it'll be the business owner. So with this, takes all of that out of the equation for the agent. But also from a, you know, if a business is cash flowing some of the vendor paid advertising, this allows the business to actually, because engaging us, well, we're putting cash back in the pocket effectively of the business. It allows them to actually use that cash for other things. So just to give you an example on that is when you look at all business at the end of the day are there to make a profit. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why you get that's into business at the end of the day. You know, there's a lot of risk involved in owning a business, so you need to be rewarded via profit as a shareholder and a return. So what we've seen is a number of businesses over the last couple of years have made profit on paper, but where they've allowed payment on settlement or payment withdrawn, they've had to keep those earnings back in the business to be able to have cash flow it. So they could have $300,000-$400,000 tied up in VPA in their business because they are the bank side of things. So it's assisting in cash flow there from a business point of view as well.
Yeah, interesting. And so, I mean, this has sort of been a bit of a new discovery for me, obviously, but Campaign Agent's been out there for a while and you've actually got some pretty high profile people using it. How many users do you reckon you've got around Australia?
There's about 300 agencies, right, and about 2,500 individual agents.
Yeah. So it is quite popular out there.
Yep.
And what's been the feedback so far?
Is it this easy? It's probably one of the things. It's, you know, I look at it and being a business owner and being in that space and in a previous role working with business owners to help them grow their business, they're looking at it and saying, where's the catch? There is actually isn't one. It's that good a product. Even for me as being a salesperson, you know, the product is actually selling itself. The agents are loving it. The business owners are loving it. The vendors, we're getting some brilliant feedback from vendors, sellers about how long has this been around? So it's a great tool.
I have to ask the question because I always ask the question for property managers. Is it a thing in property management as well? Because what we're seeing, the trend towards property management is that people are looking at better photos, better marketing, all of that sort of thing. So does this product apply to them too, or is it purely sales?
At the moment it is sales. And to answer your question you asked before, yeah, the business has been going since 2015. So we still call ourselves a startup, but we've been going for a bit over 4 years now. So VPA Pay is our first product, and we've just rolled out today at a conference here, or two conferences yesterday and today, is a new product that we're just rolling out, geared more towards agents and independent contractors, and property management is our next space here. I think we'll see with your more affluent areas, you know, with their high price rentals where they're marketing their properties. And this should be with property management, you know, however you market it in sales, you should be marketing property management exactly the same.
Absolutely.
But even with our more affluent areas in property management, you know, they are premier all for realestate.com.au with their rental listings. So even getting them advertised is a $500, $600 event for a rental property, compared to not that long ago, and you know, it didn't cost anything to advertise on some of the portals for rent, but it certainly does now.
Well, I think, you know, like places like Airbnb have kind of changed that, because, you know, the photos that you see on Airbnb, that's everything.
Yeah.
Like,
that was a massive paradigm shift from them, and they allowed the consumers to take their own happy snaps of properties to allow actually saying, these are the parameters we need in place for photography. And it was around professional style photography. That's where Airbnb actually massively grew in a very, very short period of time, because they were competing with hotels.
Yeah.
So it had to look the same for the consumer that was looking to stay there.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a result, I think like traditional property management's had to follow, because people are used to looking at these beautiful photos on Airbnb now.
But even saying that, we'll look back at, you know, Rental Express days. That was one of our points of difference. And we're talking back, you know, 2006, 7, 8 side of things, around good quality photography, good quality marketing. We go back then and it was, I think from when we look at how we used to advertise in classifieds, you know, with the 2BR, the slug, the LUG, that thinking transpired over into property management, and thinking, you know, when we're advertising online, we've got to put the shortest caption. No, you've got to sell that property to the potential tenant. So it's a sales process with it. You know, quality of marketing is crucial in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. So the product aside, like just using your experience now for some of the people listening here who might be unsure of what to pitch in marketing,
yep,
in either sales or property management, to you, what does the perfect marketing campaign look like?
The perfect marketing campaign is around whatever is going to attract the most interest in the target market you're after. I look at myself as a sales agent when I was out in the coalface, and it was very much around, I call it design your own adventure story. I'd build a campaign with the vendor looking at who was the ideal buyer for this property and how do we go and find them, right? And putting a marketing campaign in place to go and attract that particular type of buyer. So you've got to look at today, and this is probably one of the big things that we've seen over the last couple of years, is there's been a move away from print. Mm-hmm. Obviously to digital, mm-hmm. but at the moment there is a lot of talk in the industry about how do we get back into print. So our products are an assistance tool with that. But I think we traditionally look at the print as finding more the passive buyer, you know, the person that lives in that local area that's not active looking in the open for inspections. But, you know, if that ideal property came up that ticked all the boxes, they would go and make a decision to purchase. So there's a lot of talk out there at the moment of how we actually engage more in print to have a, not an equal, but it be a level standing out there to maximise our opportunities, not just digital, but analog.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And I suppose, can we just veer towards the digital just for one moment? Because I know that's how you and I have ended up at Inman together on a few occasions, because of the digital experience and the technology that's available in the US. Where do you see marketing going?
Marketing is all around a message that is relevant to the consumer or whoever you're trying to contact with. It's got to be relevant to it. So the mass marketing, trying to have a message that suits every particular person with a demographic, geographic, socioeconomic standing, just doesn't work these days. So your marketing message has to be to you, Sam. You know, that message has got to connect to you, not to 50 people, but directly to you as that ideal client or that ideal buyer for it. And when it is personalized, you will resonate with that and you'll make decisions and you'll actually engage a lot more than if it is a bulk type. So I've been big on lead generation online,
yep.
You know, big on offline as well, you know, through direct mail and other forms that the analog marketing, I call it. But you know me well, my biggest tool that I still use is that little bit of technology that we usually have in our pocket and sitting out there in my briefcase at the moment, telephone, picking up the phone. You've got to give that consumer the reason to connect to you with the tool that's their choice, whether that's a Facebook Messenger, text message, telephone call, email, letter, whatever it happens to be, giving that owner choice, but having your message in the channel that's actually going to resonate with them.
Yeah, it's funny. That's a question that's come up a lot actually in Transform is what's the best way to communicate with my clients?
But the way they want.
Yeah. I was just going to say, just to summarize what you're saying is find out, do you want to be communicated with via email or via text or via phone?
Yeah, and I look at it from a, you know, I'm in a sales role, you know, no different to a salesperson, BDM, or a business owner trying to grow their business through recruitment. So you've got to be using all the tools at your disposal. So yes, my phone is my number one tool, but I'm also doing a text message. I'm also doing a Facebook message. I'm also going to LinkedIn and a whole lot of other tools at Twitter, whatever it happens to be, to find out how are you going to be responding. And as soon as I find out the way you respond, that's the way I'm going to communicate. So it's probably one of the things that we've seen with the avoidance of wanting to pick up the telephone. You know, I will email that 200 people. I will text message that 200 people. And we kind of, I see plenty of times with salespeople, oh, those people aren't responding to me. Mm. You know, they are busy. That's probably just not relevant there and then, but also saying that the tenacity of you actually engaging with that potential seller, agent, buyer, whoever it happens to be, until they do actually engage with you, and you just stick to that channel that they're preferring.
Yeah. So it's about sticking to the channel that the customer prefers rather than the one that you prefer.
Yeah, actually, property management's a great example of that. We look at something I spoke about at a couple of conferences probably 3 or 4 years ago, and we call it omnichannel communication, is how can we have our tools that we're using come into one central location to allow us to aggregate the messaging in one spot and then communicating back with that particular client. So when we look at traditionally in our property management software, you know, we can email our landlords and tenants, we can text message our landlords and tenants. Only just now are we starting to integrate with other messaging services, but still a lot of them are separate silos that don't actually aggregate into one spot to see how the communication happens here. So some of our newer tools that are coming out have that functionality. And when they do, this is where we'll start to see the customer service actually go up considerably, because we communicate in their pattern. And when you look at property management, we're looking at your demographic traditionally with your landlord, traditional demographic with tenants, and there's going to be a traditionally from one extreme to the other age-wise. Then we throw in a property manager in between that, and they will actually communicate the way that they want to with their client.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be relevant to this marketplace and not the other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I guess that sort of speaks to what you were saying earlier, which is, and I guess this is kind of what your product's about a bit, is that don't start with a number in mind for marketing. Start with who you're marketing to.
Yep.
And then work out how to best reach them. Now, whatever number that turns out to be, it could be a different number if your market's totally different.
Yeah.
Like if you're Gavin Rubenstein, the number's going to be different too. Yep. If you're somewhere else.
Yeah, and that's probably your big one around is the context around the why. But, you know, at the end of the day, I look at it as real estate agents in the real estate industry. You know, we are professionals at what we do. You know, when you go to the doctor and you've brushed up against a bit of tin on the side of the unit block and you've cut yourself and you've got blood gushing out everywhere, when you go to the doctor, you don't say, oh, doctor, I've cut my arm. What are you going to do? You know, your doctor's just going to grab you, hold that there, and stitch together. He's not going to tell you his recommendation. He's just going to go and bloody do it.
Do it, yeah.
So we look for professionals to make recommendations, and we need to be doing the same with our vendors, making the recommendations to get the result. And when they see that, they'll actually move with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, going back to your previous point, which is about omnichannel communication, yep. Would you believe that the next question I actually had written down to ask you is, what are your three favorite tools for running a real estate business or for marketing?
For marketing, CRM for one. You've got to have somewhere to actually store your client information. And, you know, I don't care what that is at the end of the day, as long as you use something. As long as it's not an Excel spreadsheet, because you can't market to them in other things with Excel spreadsheet. So saying that, we look at some of our top agents in the country and they don't use computers, but they are giving an analog list or a printout from their support person, their executive assistant, to make those telephone calls. They're not data entering or looking up the details. So you can have a mix of both, but you've got to look at how I'm going to engage the most effective in the shortest period of time. And that could be an analog list, but someone's got to actually update some notes somewhere. So when we look at client information, is then we start to use other tools that, you know, I call it stalker marketing, whether that's the Google, the Facebooks and Instagram and things like that, marketing to our clients that are engaging with us through some of those social channels. But still, nothing is going to beat a telephone call or a belly-to-belly, face-to-face catch-up at the end of the day.
Okay. You've still got one more.
Yep. Cool.
One more tool. Hang on a sec. So I'll reframe it for you. So CRM system.
Yep.
Telephone?
Yep.
You got one more.
Most underutilized out there in the industry is LinkedIn.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You're a LinkedIn fan?
Yep, big time LinkedIn fan. Most underutilized tool out there. So when we look at probably some of our more affluent areas.
That's because everyone's sitting on Facebook.
Also saying that is that it's a more of a business communication tool. Yeah. Righto. So people that are on LinkedIn are expecting business communication, where I think, you know, Facebook has the ability, obviously, through their the marketing systems and everything that you attach to it to do some more, but it's still Facebook was designed for about people to people. Sorry, LinkedIn's still the same, but it's in a business type environment. So that's a big tool. I'd highly recommend. I know a number of groups done a whole lot of training sessions in reinforcing. I was talking to Steve Carroll just earlier on around digital live and doing a LinkedIn session in that around it, but LinkedIn. Yeah, by all means, it's most underutilized tool in real estate or in business in general today.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. I remember Tim Ferriss saying at ARIC a couple of years ago, I think somebody actually pointedly asked him the question, what social media platform should I be on?
And the one where your clients are.
Yeah. Well, his answer was the one everyone else isn't.
Yep.
Because then I suppose there's less noise.
But that's very much similar back to that marketing is you need to know where your clients hang out. As such, and target your messaging to where they hang out, whether that's the local coffee shop in the, you know, every day from a being seen in your marketplace, but also how do you market them? And that's especially when you look at property management, is your landlords live a completely different spot to where their properties are located. So you've got to reverse engineer your lead generation systems to actually go and find your landlords.
What is, and this is the question that stumps everybody at speed, but what's the most valuable piece of advice you think you've ever been given by someone during your career?
Be yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Be authentic.
Yeah.
You know, it's an old saying is tell the truth and your body language will follow.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, being brought up in the bush and bringing, you know, country values. My wife and I talk a fair bit about this and, you know, obviously what we do on the weekends as well. But you do what's right. You know, when you look at living in a small country town, you do the wrong thing and your whole community knows about it. Mm. You know, you do the right thing and they know about it. They don't talk about it, but they think, that's a good person. So I'm a big one around building relationships, doing the right thing, treating people well. Yeah, just be authentic.
Absolutely. So to sum up, what are three things every agent should do before they hit the lounge room for a listing presentation?
No matter whether you're a salesperson at BDM or you're selling product services out the industry, you've got to know your product. Product skills is going to be the number one, right? You've got to know, give that person confidence that you are making the right recommendations to get that for them. So when you believe in what you're talking about and the client can feel it, they'll move with you, right? If they doubt, you said this and I saw that, you know, they don't not trust you to actually move with you. So product knowledge and knowing about, you know, your product, your offering, whether it's sales and market knowledge, but also clarity around why someone should choose you. If I choose you, Sam, what are you going to give me? You know, are you just going to sell my property? Yes, that's great that you're just going to sell my property, but what about the experience and what about the opportunity of getting a premium price? You know, when you get that premium price for the client and get them sold in the time frame that they're looking at and that client knows you'll work so hard to do it, you'll get lots of referrals out of it. So the preparation's one around your product knowledge, preparation around a strategy about how you actually going to approach that lounge room. And it's having a being in sales for as long as I have, I copped a bit of flack for some of my BDMs around requiring a full-blown listing presentation a number of years ago. And I'm old school sales. For me to go in, it was just I needed the authority and I needed some marketing examples. And my presentation was based on questions. It was going to a triage at hospital. It's asking the questions to really take the story where the client wanted to go. Mm. But yeah, it was a whole sales process around it, not a strategy or a dialogue that seems robotic, but a something that the client's going to believe that you actually have confidence in what you're delivering.
You know, just to that point, it's interesting, like some people will still take the 50-page presentation in, and personally that's something I freak out at. Been through enough corporate presentations where, what do they call it, death by PowerPoint.
Yep.
You know, I had one person come and present to me a while ago that said something like, okay, I've got a presentation deck here. It's going to take about half an hour. How much time have you got? And what do you most want to know?
Yep.
And it was kind of like, that's how it should be.
Yeah, exactly. You know, similar example the other week. You know, yes, when I go out to onboard a team, so I train salespeople and the support team about how to use our product in the lounge room, but also in the back end from a CRM point of view, is that I walked in and we have a PowerPoint presentation that we use to walk both teams through it. TV wasn't working in the presentation room. And so had to do the whole presentation without prompts. So you can only do
love
that
actually, if, Love Actually style.
Well, but also saying that, you know, if it was relying on the prompt, you know, and that I call a crutch, you know, a presentation a crutch, you should be able to just get up there and do your job without any aids of anything. And when people see you do that, they know you're on game. You know what you're talking about, not relying off reading off a presentation or, oh, now we've got to turn the page and now we've got to talk about this. My third thing is around, we are not going to get a signed agreement every single time in that living room. You know, naturally, oh, we want to think about it. We, you know, we'll sleep about it, whatever it happens to be. They might not be just ready to make a decision then. The good agents get this, but majority don't. The next step comes down to your tenacity of follow-up, right? The follow-up, what's it look like if you don't get that signed agreement today, and how are you actually engaging with that potential client to get them to make decision tomorrow, next week, 3 months down the track side of things? So how you follow up can be the winner or killer of businesses. So a lot of times I call, you know, some sales agents sales prevention officers. You know, we got in the living room, we did the best presentation there is. The consumer wasn't ready to make a decision there and then. 6 months later, the property comes on the market and the agent's whinging. Oh, I did a presentation to that client. Yeah. When did the last time you spoke to them? Oh, I haven't spoken to them since they were in the lounge room. I've sent them an email side of things. But your tenacity of follow-up will massively, massively shift your business to a whole nother level with your follow-up.
Just one more question on the follow-up.
You only asked for three.
I know. Just thinking with the follow-up though, like that's something that we've talked a lot about with a lot of other guests on the show, because sometimes – you know how waiters in restaurants, they can be really, they're just lurking around all the time, and then yep. Other waiters know exactly when you're going to need the next drink or when you want your entree to be served. And I guess real estate is a bit like that. You want to be the waiter that is able to anticipate without, you know, hanging around. How do you figure out what sort of follow-up to give someone?
One of the things, and I've said this at a conference as well, you know, we look at our CRM systems and they have these trails, tracks, you know, action plans and things like that for follow-up and things like that. The problem is that the clients don't work to action plans.
No. Right?
So I'm annoying. A big one around. I call it foot off the pedal, foot down on the pedal. So your conversation, every single conversation you have with a client, if you don't achieve the agreed outcome around, you know, a signed agreement or whatever it happens to be, there's got to be a next step as part of that conversation. So, Sam, you're not ready to make a decision today. When's the best time to contact you next? Or you're going away for 2 weeks. Canada, great. Have a great holiday. I'll ring you 3 days after you get back. But actually finishing that conversation around what the next steps of engagement are going to be. And then when you actually make that call, I'm very much, as promised, I said I'd give you a call back on this day because people love you keeping your promises. So as promised, I said I'd give you a call on this particular day, or as promised, I said I'd send you this email. So it's very much you need to work out what the next steps of communication done be, what the time frame of the next steps. But also saying that is that you've got to use all your tools at your disposal to have reasons to pick up the phone and have conversations with context, a conversation, not just, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? You know, so it's,
are we there
you know,
yet?
Well, yeah, you know, look at today, you know, we've had this planned in the diary for a couple of weeks and we had a Facebook memory come up today.
Yeah.
You know, so we've connected back via that, which has preempted some other stuff, but you've got to have something that's done to actually want that person to pick up the phone. Yeah, you know, when you do ring them, but it's got to be something of value to them. So sales, it could be that listing that's just come on down the road. This property's that's sold. This development's just had a proposal to go down the corner. This has done an impact on the prices in this area one way or the other. But something that's done to be actually prick the ears of your potential client in a way that they'll engage and get value out of it back the other way versus just the robotic, I've made my 100 calls for this particular reason, didn't get a connect. It's got to be a value to the person on the other side.
So speaking of value, I mean, obviously you have got a whole lot of experience in a whole range of directions. And I guess this now ties back to, you know, your role at Campaign Agent as well. So not only can you offer a good solution for VPA, but you can also walk the walk as well,
yeah, right,
with some good scripts and dialogues and some advice and stuff like that. So how can others get involved or contact you via Campaign Agent?
Campaignagent.com.au is our website. They can directly contact me, mobile, ring me, or text me, 0414402033. That was 0414402033, straight off Tom Panos's script the other day with telephone follow-up. Or Facebook me, Facebook or LinkedIn. Just do a Google search, Jason Rose Real Estate, and I'll come up that way. So whatever your preferred method of contacting.
Jason's there
for
you.
Should be there.
Jason Rose, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
to connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.